Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 26 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts,
Tony.
And I am Lou. And as always, thanks for being here. Don't forget, you can visit us on Facebook. Go to our page on Facebook and become a fan. Visit us on iTunes, and please subscribe if you haven't done so already, and leave us a review and rating. We'd greatly appreciate that. And then, of course, if you have anything you want to send to us via email, you can send that to podcast@pause.com. And hey, our buddy Steve said he was going to send you a life question, but I never got it. So, Steve, come on, let's get that going. We'll save it for next week. But
I need to save him.
Yeah, I don't know how serious of a life question it is. It may be something trivial.
I hope for his case it's not very serious.
Yeah. Steve, watch your step on this one. I'm just saying. So anyway, thanks again for listening last week, and we're going to get going here right away. What have you been playing game-wise?
Not a whole lot.
Okay, you got anything?
No, not really.
Okay. You know, it's funny, we both had a really busy week. When we got together first before the show just now, we were a little bit nervous because we didn't think we'd have much to talk about. But I think we'll be okay. I don't have a lot to talk about, but I did play the I think it's Ion Online beta a bunch more. And I created a total of three characters in three different classes. I only played two of them a lot. The last one I created and didn't really have a whole lot of time to play around with it. But you know, it's pretty good for a beta. I mean, it's pretty stable. I didn't have it crash a single time.
I have a question about how the betas work. Now, those characters you've created and all the stuff that you've done. Now, once the game comes out, will you be able to carry that over?
You know, I would think that they would wipe them because that would be kind of an imbalance to other players, right? But I don't know. I mean, sometimes it doesn't really matter because you can't just go around killing people willy nilly.
Right.
So it might not really. Right. Might not really. What? Are you laughing
because I
use willy nilly?
Made me giggle.
Okay. So I don't know how they're gonna do that. And in fact, I've tried to get somebody from NCSoft online or on the phone to ask some questions about some of that stuff. But I think they're a little busy right now.
Yeah.
So, but I'll try to get more info about that. But, you know, it's really stable, which is pretty impressive. Most of the bugs that I saw had to do with, like, you know, typos and stuff like that. Because it was all in Korean originally, and it's just been localized to English pretty recently, I think. And there were a couple places where, like, a character name, there was a bug with a character name, and it showed up as what looked like an internal database reference instead of the actual character name. Or, you know, typos, like something was pluralized that shouldn't have been. One time I saw the word thieves was written as thieves, but you know, so it's like little things like that.
That's inexcusable.
I know. How can they even charge money for that game? But then, you know, there were a few other things, like sometimes you'd get some kind of a modifier for your weapons or armor that wasn't showing up on your character.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if it wasn't applied or if it just wasn't, just wasn't showing up there.
So there's no bugs of like clothing falling off or any of that?
No, I don't think anyone would consider that a bug anyway. That'd be an excellent feature.
That would never be reported, would it?
No, it wouldn't be reported at all. I remember, you know, what's so funny about you mentioning that is for years, and I don't know if this is true or not, for years, it was rumored that there was a secret code you could type into the original Tomb Raider to make her clothes come off.
That was a lie, I'm sure.
I would think it was a lie.
Because you would know the code otherwise.
I probably would know the code, yeah. I wish there was a code in real life to make people's clothes come off.
Well,
that'd be pretty cool.
Not everyone.
No, I mean, I'm saying, you know, you decide.
Right.
You use the code when you feel it's appropriate. But, no, it was really, you know, I had a lot of fun playing it. It's hard to say much about it because it is beta, and since I don't, one of the reasons I wanted to talk to somebody at NCSoft was to find out some of the things that are going to change before it's released, you know, so I don't want to say too much, well, I really like this or I didn't like, especially stuff I didn't like, because it just might not be in yet. If you can get in on the next beta, if you're into that kind of game and you can get in on it, please do. It's a lot of fun, and you know, the more the merrier, of course. You can, like I said, you can go to any store that pre-sells video games and buy the pre-order pack for $5, and you'll get a key to the public betas in there. Or they're not really public, they're closed, but you know what I'm saying. But other than that, I played more of the Fallout 3 DLC Point Lookout, and it's still pretty fun. It's funny, there's this one thing that happens in there that I always get kind of nervous about when I'm playing games like this, which I don't know why I get nervous. I mean, there's obviously no real consequences. But there was a character that asked me to basically take out another character.
Uh-huh.
And that character asked me to take out the first character. So it's like you have to make a decision which one you're going to do, and neither one of them was inherently good or evil. I usually play good characters.
Right.
And neither one was inherently good or evil. They were both kind of jerks. So what ended up happening is I ended up killing both of them. Actually, one of them kind of died by mistake while he was hanging around with me, and then the other one I ended up killing.
When he ended up at the end of your gun. And,
and I accidentally pulled the trigger while I was mad at him. No. So, but, you know, I always get nervous in those kind of, in either RPGs or adventure games when I have to make a decision like that, because I don't know if something's going to affect the story later on that I'm going to regret.
Right.
You know, like, what if I hadn't killed this dude? Would I get some cool thing later, you know? But whatever. I think you were always intended to take out both of them. They're just kind of these rivals. But it's fun so far, and I think I still have a lot to do. You know, it's nice. It's nice because...
It's pretty big, then.
It is. It is pretty big. And there's some cool stuff in it. Like, there's a lighthouse on the island. Uh-huh. And, you know, just some of the architecture inside the lighthouse is neat. You know, there's a spiral staircase that goes right all the way up, and... I think there's some stuff that I've got to fix there, and probably some ghost ship is going to show up or something, I assume. But it seems like there's a lot of secrets in this DLC, which I really like. Stuff that's not just part of the main story of why you're on the island, right, which is pretty cool. But anyway, so that's pretty much it for video games. And other miscellaneous video game news, Time Warner bought Midway for $33 million.
It doesn't seem like a lot.
It doesn't seem like a lot, but on the other hand, I can't think of what Midway is doing these days. Right. You would want to pay even $1 for anything they're doing.
I'd pay a dollar.
For Midway?
Yeah.
About $5?
Sure.
$10?
let's make the increments go higher.
Okay. $1,000?
Sure.
$10,000.
Nah, I
don't. See, I don't now you're losing interest.
Throw around.
Now you're losing interest. They'd have to throw in, what, like a Pac-Man machine or something?
Something.
Yeah. I mean, they were like huge. Obviously, I mean, they were huge back in the days of the arcade. And they've had a lot of, you know, Mortal Kombat, I think, is theirs, right?
I don't know.
I mean, they've had a lot of big games. But I don't know. They had some fiasco a few years back.
Like a fire?
No, I don't. Some fiasco with one of their products.
Now, they're based in Chicago, right?
They were. I believe that may have closed. I'm not exactly sure.
That's actually one of their offices isn't far from my house.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I want to say they all closed, though. But I could be wrong about that. But anyway, that's kind of interesting that Time Warner bought them.
What'd you say, Mortal Kombat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that theirs? Yeah.
And Robotron.
Robotron. Wow. No.
Yeah. Robotron, Defender, Rampage.
No, those were Williams.
It says
maybe Midway bought Williams before they came out with those. Because Robotron and Defender and Stargate, those were all Williams games. I can't believe you didn't remember that.
I'm looking on their website right now.
You remember when
it says,
you know,
classic Midway classics such as Defender, Robotron.
Yeah,
and
those should not be listed under there. I mean, even if Midway did buy Williams or merge with them, they were all branded as Williams games.
Joust,
Williams.
Should I contact them? There's a contact link here.
Why don't you just go in and edit the page? You're on Wikipedia, right? Just
no,
fix it.
I'm on Midway's page.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they must have bought them or merged or something. Yeah.
Because they can't just put that
those,
up there.
No, those should be those should not be listed as Midway games. That's rude. I'm sorry. But I was gonna say, you remember when arcades were big and we were going to arcades all the time when we were teenagers? And remember we'd always try to get copies of those trade publications from the arcade owners that had all those cool like one sheets for all the new games that were coming out.
Uh-huh.
That was the coolest thing, and they were elaborate. They were so cheesy, but they were really elaborate. There was this whole phase in the arcade era when people were going crazy with experimenting and stuff. Like after Dragon's Lair and Space Ace came out, remember there was that game where you were riding a motorcycle and the motorcycle was, you know, computer graphics, but the backgrounds were all like pre-rendered 3D playing on a Laserdisc? It was called Star Rider.
I don't remember that.
It was really neat. There was some cool stuff back then. I'm kind of sad that situation doesn't exist anymore. It was a fun atmosphere. You know what I mean? There was some really cool
stuff.
But
then we'd be the creepy old guy in the arcade.
Well, I just mean for the kids these
days. Oh, I see.
I mean, but really, what's the point? I mean, the 360 and the PS3, they're a zillion times more powerful than... And it's not like you could put really that much more of a powerful processor or GPU in an arcade game now anyway.
Right.
You know, who would be able to develop anything for it that anyone would want to play?
Right.
You know, but whatever. And then you had something about...
Yeah, a report came out that 87% of all PS3 owners also use it as a Blu-ray player, which the reason that's important is because that is what Sony has been one of Sony's selling points for the PS3 is it's a Blu-ray player as well. So, I mean,
Obviously, that's a good selling
success
point
with it.
Right. And not only that, but as we've talked about before, a lot of people consider the PS3's Blu-ray player to be the best one that
still
you can buy.
Still to this day.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy. You know, and that's why if they do come out with a new form factor for the PS3 and one that fits into an entertainment center a little bit better, I think that's going to be a really good thing
for them. Well, the PS3 Slim that they keep rumoring.
Right. Supposedly will be out later this year.
Yeah.
If those rumors are true. But that's pretty much it as far as what I have for video games. You got anything else?
Nope.
All right, cool. We'll be back in a minute to talk about TV. Okay, we're back and we're going to talk about television now. I have also had a pretty light TV week.
There's nothing to talk about in television.
I know, they're really, I mean,
there was no True Blood this week.
There was no True Blood, which I was like, after last week's episode, I was really disappointed when there was no True Blood this past weekend. Because that last episode was just so good. Yeah.
But I'm starting to see the promos for stuff coming out, you know.
I know.
In September.
Now it's time to start getting excited about next season.
Right. I spoke about it a little earlier in the day to you. So there's a commercial for this new sci-fi show, but from the creators of Grey's Anatomy.
Which just sounds so weird. But then, I mean, if you think about it, didn't Joss Whedon do... No, wait, what am I thinking of? Not Joss Whedon. J.J. Abrams. Didn't he do something?
Felicity, maybe?
Felicity? Yeah.
Well, right? And Joss Whedon did Dawson's Creek, didn't he?
Did he? Maybe you're right, yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
I'm
not a Whedonite like a lot of people. I just love Firefly.
But
and tolerate Dollhouse.
Anyway, this new show is called Defying Gravity.
Yeah.
And I have a little stuff right here right now. It's from... writer producers of Grey's Anatomy and Desperate Housewives. So it follows the journey of 8 astronauts from 5 countries who embark on a mysterious mission through the solar system.
Huh. And during that time, they will in fact be defying gravity.
Well,
will there be love affairs?
Yes, actually. Well,
and
I'm sure.
Secret crushes.
I'm wondering if they're going to make it the same kind of like soap opera.
That would be
kind
of weirdly annoying. But you know, it's strange because I've often said, you know, if soap opera producers wanted to get more male viewers, they should just like stick it in outer space. So maybe they're trying to do that. Maybe they're trying to get something that both women and men will watch. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because if you got people having love affairs and flying spaceships, that's a good crossover right there.
Well, I mean, like you said, you look at a show like Lost. I mean, there's some soap opera elements to that. That
oh, absolutely.
That you know, is attractive to both men and women.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And you know, certainly women are just as rabid about their fandom of that show
right.
as men are.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, maybe even more so, I would say.
Yeah, I would say.
But you know, the thing about Lost is it was only mysterious at first, and it's only gotten to be sci-fi really in the last couple of seasons.
Right.
So maybe that was part of their plan, although from all accounts, they didn't really have a plan.
You know, some of the people at List, though, have been in some stuff that you may know some of these people that I don't know. The cast is led by Ron Livingston from Office Space.
Right.
And Swingers.
Sure.
And Sex and the City.
Who doesn't love him?
But then there's...
Band of Brothers. Wasn't he in that?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Laura Harris from 24. You know who that is?
No, not offhand.
Let's see. Malik Yoba.
Doesn't sound familiar.
I thought you would know some of these people.
Laura Harris sounds familiar, but I can't picture who that is.
Another person for 24, Eyal Podel.
I don't know who that is.
All right. We're going to start looking these people up.
Yeah, you're going to have to look them up.
But
look up Laura Harris. And who was the other one? Eyal Podel?
Eyal Podel.
I wonder if he's the person who plays Chloe's husband. I like him. He used to be on Nikita, too. And he was a good character on both of those shows. Kind of annoying, but also like kind of funny. But Laura Harris sounds familiar. I just can't picture who that is.
On 24, it plays Ryan Burnett.
Ryan.
Oh, Burnett. In just 4 episodes though.
Ryan Burnett. I don't know. That doesn't ring a bell. And then what about Laura Harris?
He's a good looking guy.
Wait, do you have a picture of him up?
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm going to go over to the other side of the table. Very unprofessional.
I'll be back in a minute to my microphone. I have no idea who that guy is.
You have no idea who that is.
All right, now bring up Laura Harris.
Laura Harris.
You think that's her? No,
no.
That's not her.
Well, I'll find her and we'll come back to her.
Okay, I'm going back to my mic now. That side of the table is very creepy.
Just saying, for me, because I'm used to this side of the table. So anyway, but it doesn't say anything about whether it's going to be like overly dramatic like that.
No.
Oh, okay. A trailer for Jesse Alexander's Day One leaked online. But, you know, Jesse Alexander is like, along with J.J. Abrams, is like one of the kings of transmedia stuff. Mm-hmm. What are the odds that it actually leaked?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, don't you think that he probably did that to,
sure,
to get buzz going? Because it looked pretty cool.
I don't believe in leaks at all anymore.
No. No. I mean, I suppose it could happen, but it's not as likely as somebody doing it to get, like, you know, a little viral something going. And who among us doesn't want to do a little something to get a little buzz going? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. As long as it's not viral.
Right. Right. That is a completely bad kind of buzz.
Right.
You don't want that buzz at all.
That's when you really got to worry about the leaks.
But it looks pretty cool. I mean, I knew it was going to be a post-apocalyptic thing, but it looks like there's a sci-fi alien element to it, too,
uh-huh,
which I totally dig. And you should check it out. I'll post it on pause.com, but it's pretty cool. You should watch it. Well, you can watch it after I post it.
Right.
It looks pretty. It looks like it's going to be pretty neat. And then the Star Wars live-action TV show that has been talked about for a number of years is supposedly going to start production in Australia pretty soon. A number of Australian writers have been hired by Lucasfilm's Rick McCallum, and supposedly they're going to start shooting
that. How far can they drive this franchise into the
ground? I don't know.
It's almost better left alone.
I've heard the TV show is good, though, the Clone Wars TV show.
Really?
I've heard it's good. I've never seen it, but I've heard it's good. But I haven't even seen the movie.
No. Well, and it doesn't seem like you'd want to.
No, not really.
Not from
what I've heard about it.
Bad stuff we've heard.
Little People, a.k.a. people with dwarfism, have filed a complaint with the FCC over the Celebrity Apprentice in that episode where they made the commercials for...
The viral videos.
Yeah, for the fabric softener or detergent or whatever it was. Trump and the production company stand by their production and are not issuing a statement of apology. I think probably because Trump condemned the commercial and said it was in really poor taste and very offensive and everything. So, I mean, the fact that, you know, it's almost like posting a link to something on a blog. Just because you're showing somebody else that someone did that stuff doesn't really make you bad,
doesn't
too.
Doesn't hold you accountable. Right. Also, in that episode, if I remember correctly, they addressed what was proper midget or little people.
Right.
And
or
the
dwarf.
Little person who they were talking to said he was okay with midget.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wonder if he came out later and said he was pressured or something. Maybe. But you know, hey, I don't think that that the production should issue an apology. But on the other hand, I, you know, wish the best of luck to all the little munchkins. So I'm just kidding. I got nothing against anybody.
No.
Honestly. I don't have anything against anybody. Sci-fi.
What about dumb people?
Oh, God, I hate them. But that's not really I mean, they're so dumb. They're not, they're not even going to know.
Right.
They're not going to know that they've been offended. Anyway, Sci-Fi is rebooting both Alien Nation and possibly Quantum Leap. I mean, okay, I have a feeling this discussion that we started a couple of weeks ago is just going to get worse and worse about the fact that there are pretty much no new ideas.
Right.
You know, it's not as bad as nothing, but come on. Can't you just come up with a new alien story or a new time travel story? Why does it have to be that one? And let's not even bring up Asteroids and Viewmaster again. Okay? It's just weird. Warehouse 13 debuted on Sci-Fi, supposedly did very well, and it would have been one better, except that I forgot to record it. And I'm really upset by that because they don't have it online to view, which I find kind of odd, actually. But maybe they're going to release it on DVD or something like that. I didn't really talk about the fact that we started watching the final season of Atlantis, season 5, on DVD.
Uh-huh.
Not available on Blu-ray. What's up with that?
I don't know.
I mean, even if they didn't shoot it HD, it's on DVD widescreen, so why wouldn't you just put it out on Blu-ray so that it looks as good as it could possibly look? Because it's noticeably not high definition on DVD.
So wait,
disturbingly so.
Have any of the other Stargates been released on?
Well, you know,
Blu-ray?
They did a couple of direct-to-video movies last year, and those were released on Blu-ray. So I don't know why.
Hmm.
You know, I don't know why this isn't on Blu-ray. Maybe it's coming out later, and I just didn't know it. But we were kind of itching to see it, so we picked it up on DVD. And it's so good to see that. You know, it's so great when you, you know, whether or not a show is, you know, incredible, the best show you've ever seen, or it's just an okay show, when you're into a show and you like the characters and everything, it's so nice to, like, get back into a groove with those characters. Right. You just, there's this weird, like, comfort level that you feel there.
I feel the same way about Lost because, you know, Lost doesn't play through most of the year.
Right.
It only plays a few months of the year.
And then when they come back, you're like, oh, it's so nice to be with these people
again. It's almost like reconnecting.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, I'm not saying this from the, like, goofy standpoint of the fan who thinks that, oh, God, if we met in real life, I know we'd get along so well. I'm just saying, you know, you get used to the characters, and there's a comfort there. Comfort zone.
Right.
Whatever you want to call it. All right, we got to talk about virtuality a little bit more. You never finished watching, right? Okay, so just to recap a little bit, there's all these people on this spaceship. They're going somewhere to find a new place to live or something like that. I don't know, because the Earth is doomed, as is always the case. And they have these VR headsets, and in the VR headsets, a number of the crew members start seeing this creepy guy who's not part of the program, because they each program their own little virtual, you know, fantasies and scenarios. So what happens towards the end of the pilot, which I'm sure will not have any chance of being made into a series, is that the guy who's, like, in charge, you know, the head guy, the commander, he kind of starts to lose it a little bit. So he decides that they're not going to turn off the VR system, even though it seems like it's glitchy. Because one of the girls, the young girl who gets made into, like, the host of the show, she was sexually assaulted by the creepy guy within her VR fantasy. And so the doctor says that, you know, they need to turn it off. And the producer, who is the husband of one of the other crew members, he's, you know, he thinks it should be turned off. But the commander doesn't want to turn it off. He says it's too important. And so there's something that happens that they have to make some kind of repair on the outside of the ship. So they're going to go for a, you know, an EVA, extravehicular, whatever, assignment. I don't know, whatever A stands for. And so they're getting ready to go out, and he gets locked into the airlock, and he thinks the girl who's the producer's wife, who he's having an affair with in their VR headsets, like they both have programmed their VR headsets so that they can have an affair in the VR world, which is crazy. But anyway, so he thinks that she locked him in, and she thinks that he locked himself in. They both think that each other did it as, like, a joke, and they're both like, ha-ha, through the window, but then the outside door starts opening. And nobody knows how it happened. And he starts to get sucked out, and they all rush to get their suits on, and they get in there. You know, they pull the manual release, because there's always a manual release.
Of course, they go in there.
Right. And they get him, and they seal the door, but it's too late. He's dead.
Right.
So the commander dies. And just before he dies, he looks through the, or just before he's, like, starts getting sucked out, he looks through the window, and he says, you know, he mouths, "I love you," to that girl. And so then later, the producer is playing back the security videos, and he sees him. So he knows that there was something going on between them. And, but of course, nothing happens with that because it's, like, the end of the movie.
Right.
And so the only thing that happens is she, the wife, then goes into her VR headset, or actually it's the commander's VR headset that somebody has left in her room now.
Right.
And so she puts it on and she goes into his VR world, which is, like, this Wild West scenario. And all of a sudden he's in there talking to her by her real name, not as if he's part of the program. And he says something like, you know, "Don't believe anything. We just got to run with it." And she's like, "What are you talking about?" And that was the end. It's like, what? So there was absolutely no explanation of what happened.
I'm so glad I didn't waste any of my time.
Oh, my God. You should be. It was so stupid. And it was, I mean, it kind of seemed like it might have been going towards the direction of maybe this entire thing was BS.
Right.
And that's, this was all part
of. Oh, it was BS. Okay.
Yeah. No, but that it was all part of somebody's imagination or VR world or whatever. But it was just so dumb. There was, first of all, it was way too slow to have been interesting enough to pick up as a series.
Right.
I don't, you know, I really do not appreciate a lot of sci-fi when it gets more thoughty than sci-fi action-y.
Right.
I just don't care. Like that Solaris.
Yeah, I never saw that.
Didn't care. There was another one that was something. I forget what it was. Red something.
Red.
The one with the dude who played the Scarecrow in the Batman movies.
Well, Cillian Murphy.
Yeah. What was that movie that he was in? By the guy who did 28 Days or whatever. The zombie movies. You know what I'm talking about?
No. I'm looking it up, though.
Okay. Look it up. Tony's looking it up. Do, 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 do. By the way, lovely weather today in the Chicagoland area.
It certainly is.
Sunny. Beautiful outside, right around 80 degrees.
Okay.
A nice summer day for all you people enjoying your summers off.
Hippie Hippie Shake?
No. Do you really think that's a sci-fi movie about going to the sun?
Red Eye.
Red Eye.
No, that's not Red Eye.
That's not it. Red Eye was that other dumb one.
Breakfast on Pluto?
No, come on.
I'm reading the stuff he was in. I don't know the... Sunshine?
Sunshine. Yeah. Stupid movie.
Oh, yeah. Danny Boyle.
Yeah. Danny Boyle! Oh, how's a little Danny Boyle doing these days? Is he making another one of his little movies? I sure like it when Danny Boyle makes movies. All right, I'm done with my bad
accent.
I'm
just going to let you roll. if we're going to talk about TV, I think we should talk about the Michael Jackson Memorial.
Okay, that's fine. I didn't see anything. I've been very busy this week. I didn't see anything. All I heard was that I heard two things. I heard he had a golden coffin.
Yes.
And I heard that his daughter Paris said he was the best daddy in the world, and everyone was shocked by that.
Right.
Why would somebody be shocked by their kids saying they're the
and
best
And now
daddy?
There's all this stuff saying that, you know, was it right to put her up there? Well,
oh, and then I also heard his body was not actually in the golden coffin.
Well, that's, we don't know if that's rumor or not.
Was there also a golden ticket?
There should be.
Golden arches.
To go to Neverland.
Golden earring. Hey, look up what I was talking about before you start talking about the whole coverage. Look up, go to Wikipedia and look up Neverland Ranch.
Yes.
Because I swear I read a couple years ago that he sold it and that the people who bought it changed the name because they didn't want the stigma attached to it.
But if they bought a few years, I mean, he died still owning it.
Well, that's what you're saying, but what I'm saying is I read something different. And the reason we were talking about this, people, is because at lunch we were talking about how Tony said that he had wanted to be buried at Neverland Ranch. And that there was some municipal rule or something about how you can't bury someone on private property, which is, you know, a good thing because that discourages people from killing people and burying them in the backyard.
Kind of what you said was right. On November 10, 2008, Jackson transferred the title to Sycamore Valley Ranch Company, LLC, and neighbors reported immediate activity on the property, including removal of the amusement rides. Jackson still owned an unknown stake in the property. Since Sycamore Valley Ranch was a joint venture between Jackson and an affiliate of Colony Capital, LLC, which is an investment company run by billionaire Tom Barrack, Santa Barbara County Assessor's Office stated Jackson sold an unknown proportion of his property rights for $35
million. Oh, okay.
So he still owns.
So he owns something there. Right. And maybe that something is where he wanted to be buried.
Right.
You know, this is a basis for a really like creepy, bizarre movie. Like, what if he's not really dead? And what if all of his, like, plastic surgery and stuff, what if this is all leading to, like, something where he's going to, like, come back as a completely different person that nobody is going to recognize, but he had to get, like, really thin and, like, worn down for whatever this new identity was to, like, be placed over his old self? And so he's going to come back, and there's going to be this new superstar, but really it's just going to be him. And no one will know because he'll look completely different.
But he would have to sound completely different.
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying, there's something going on here. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Okay. No, anyway, so talk about the TV coverage.
It was good in that it. I mean, I saw it. I saw.
Now, keep
most
in
of
mind,
it,
people, that this is the guy. This is the person, Tony over here, who last week was saying he was really sick of the coverage.
The coverage. Well, yeah, that's true. But I have to say,
you've
this
changed your tune.
No, I'm still sick of the coverage.
Oh.
Because right after that memorial, I mean, all day on CNN, that's all they showed was clips from. I mean. How many times do I have to see the little girl crying?
Right.
But
now, this was his daughter, right? Not that same little girl from Sanjay on American Idol? Okay.
No. She may have been crying as well.
Yeah. She probably was.
Because it doesn't seem to take much for her to cry.
Just a faux hawk.
But the memorial was good in that it, like, humanized him. Having people come up that were friends with him and kind of talk about, you know, their friendship, you know, that when they were alone or... It was touching. I liked it. It certainly. Why are you making those faces?
Just because you said their friendship when they were alone. Has Macaulay Culkin been in the news a lot?
No, not at all.
Don't you think that's weird?
Yeah, it
because
is.
He had a childhood relationship. I mean,
right. And then
in Macaulay's childhood,
there were some people that said that, you know, he may have.
Right. He was in one of his videos.
Yeah, black and white.
Yeah. Which did he play?
He was the whites.
Okay. You're talking about Macaulay, right? Not Michael. Okay. Well, you know, could go either way with him.
But It was nice. It was a nice tribute, and I mean, it's amazing. 31 million people watched it. I mean, it was on in the middle of the day.
It's been a very divisive bit of news, though, because, you know, there are still a lot of people that, you know, there are a lot of people who can't separate the person from the artist. And I'm not just talking about him. I'm talking about with anybody. So if, like, I know people who are very right-wing who won't watch anything that Alec Baldwin's in because he's so liberal. So, you know, there are people who can't separate the two. And because of that, it's been very divisive because there are still a lot of people who are convinced that he did do wrong by some kids and that we shouldn't be celebrating somebody who was, you know, in their mind, a child molester or a pervert. This is like the ice cream version of pervert.
But really, what I really noticed when I was watching this memorial, because they showed a lot of clips of him through his career, and like seeing those clips of like the Thriller era and the Bad era, I mean, it really brought me back. And it really was a large part of the soundtrack of my growing up.
Sure. So, all of us. I mean,
well, in our age.
Right, that's what I mean. And it really, it really did start with Off the Wall because, you know, he went from being this kid in the Jackson 5 to when he did Off the Wall, you know, especially with those two songs, Rock With You and Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. I mean, those were fantastic songs.
Right.
And then when Thriller came out, it was just like, it was like nothing we'd ever experienced.
No.
And the thing that's interesting about his music is it's, even for the time, because this is more common now, I think, but for the time especially, it was very atypical because his songs were not necessarily about all the normal things that people wrote songs about. I mean, what is Thriller even really about? It's the strangest song if you think about it. But when you...
Well, they also didn't fit into... I mean, yeah, we put it in a pop category.
Right.
But it really didn't fit into... It certainly wasn't R&B.
Right.
It wasn't rock.
Right.
It was like an amalgamation of all those.
Yeah, it was kind of his own...
His own genre.
Right. He really... Whatever the story was that he intended, it was obvious that he was telling some story that was different than most of what other people were doing at the time.
Right.
And then I thought I mentioned this before, but you said I didn't. I mean, I so vividly remember on that night when, you know, Thriller debuted on TV.
Right.
And it was just the coolest thing any of us had ever seen. It was so cool. And I mean, John Landis directed that video, you know, he's a big time movie producer and director and stuff like that. And it was a really cool time for music. I mean, to the point where, remember all of us idiots walking around trying to wear, like, you know, red leather jackets with pointed shoulder pads. And it was just ridiculous if you think about it. But that's how popular he was.
Yes.
What else you got?
That's it.
You said a lot more at lunch.
I know. Well, that's all I have.
Okay. You know, that's it? You don't.
Well, no, because, I mean, the coverage has just been ad nauseum. I mean, I'm not going back on my word about that.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
Let's you know, show him our respects and then, you know, move on.
Right. I would say let sleeping dogs lie, but that might be seen as some kind of insult. I'm not referring to Michael Jackson as a dog, if that's what you think by that. I want to know, though, if he's not really in the coffin. I think we're going to see some superstar.
Well, I told you, the rumor that I heard was that they originally wanted to bury him at Neverland Ranch, but because of laws in, like, that part of California, you're not allowed to bury anyone on
I think that's
private
a good
property.
Law, again.
Yeah.
It saves a lot of trouble later when people get in bad
So the rumor is they still wanted that to be his resting place, so they had him cremated, and that's
and just, like,
where
walked
he's going
through
to be.
The yard and sprinkled him kind of thing. Right. Yeah. I still think we're going to see the emergence of some mystery superstar in the next few years, and it's going to be Michael, and nobody's going to be the wiser except for me. You heard it here first, folks. Anyway, I guess that's it for TV, right?
That's it.
That's it. All right, cool. We'll be back in a minute to talk about movies. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about movies, and this is going to be one hell of a short segment.
I do have a movie to talk about that I've seen.
Okay, what'd you see?
It's not so recent. It was from last year, I believe. It's called Reservation Road. I just stumbled upon it. I saw this movie was coming on cable with Joaquin Phoenix and Mark Ruffalo and Jennifer Connelly. I'm like, those are some big names. I've never heard of this movie. So I thought I'd check it out. And it's done by Terry George, who was he was the writer of a couple Daniel Day-Lewis movies, like In the Name of the Father and The Boxer. And he's right now making Inside Man 2. never saw Inside Man 1, but...
You know, I didn't really think that was that great of a movie.
Well, that's funny, because I didn't think this was that great of a movie.
Oh, really?
Well, let me tell you. At first, I really liked it. The first half hour, I really liked it. Let me give you the story, and I'm going to ruin the movie, too.
That's fine.
Because
I'm not going to say
it. I'm not recommending it.
Okay.
But it's about two different families. One is Joaquin Phoenix and Jennifer Connelly. They're married. He's a professor, and they're kind of modern. I mean, they're just kind of like a little hip, but he's a professor and almost hippie-like, if you will.
Right.
And they have two little kids, and they're coming back from one of the little kids' musical recitals.
Sure.
Mark Ruffalo is with his kid at a Boston Red Sox game. He's a divorced father who's fighting to spend as much time with his son as he can. His wife in the movie, or his ex-wife, is Mira Sorvino.
Okay.
So after the recital...
I noticed you didn't mention Mira Sorvino in the list of quote-unquote big names.
Well, she really hasn't done much.
No.
I like
but
her,
she's
though.
Still a big name.
Yeah, I mean, she's won an Oscar.
Yeah.
But,
so there you go.
You know, she hasn't done much.
Right, okay.
So the Joaquin Phoenix, Jennifer Connelly family pulls over at a gas station, and the little boy, their little son, gets out to let loose some fireflies that, you know, their mom wouldn't let them bring
sure.
home. So he's over on the side of the road, and he's letting loose the
Do
fireflies.
Do you want to talk about what the, you know, the allegory is there?
No.
Okay.
And Mark Ruffalo is driving down the same road
oh, dear.
In his SUV.
I don't like where this is going.
You won't like where this is going. I could not see this movie as a parent. Especially a parent of a child.
Oh, I feel sick.
And Mark Ruffalo kind of loses control of the car. You know, he gets distracted.
I feel sick.
And kills the little boy.
Oh, my God.
And doesn't know what to do, freaks out, because his son is in the car.
Right.
So he takes off. So the whole movie is about him dealing with it and them dealing with it.
Separately?
Well, for
the
a very
part.
Short while.
Oh, okay.
Well,
okay.
Here's where the... Okay, so I just told you the whole the premise of the movie.
So far, this sounds exactly like the beginning of Pumpkinhead.
Really?
Yeah. I'm serious.
Well, let me just say, I mean, the acting is great in this movie, and so far what's happened, it's very captivating.
Right.
But then it goes completely downhill when you come to find out that that the boy's music teacher was Mira Sorvino's character. So, okay, that's a coincidence.
The Dead Boys?
The Dead Boys.
Okay.
I'll buy that. That's a little coincidence. Because they're in a small town in Massachusetts.
Okay, right, sure.
But then Joaquin Phoenix realizes that when they do catch this guy, because of the law and loopholes and everything, this guy may not, you know, be prosecuted to the full extent, which is what he wants. He wants this guy, you know.
And what loophole is there?
Well, he's just saying there were cases.
If your ex-wife is the kid's music teacher, you get to go?
No, it has nothing to do with that.
Okay.
So he goes to get himself a lawyer, and who do you think the lawyer is that he gets?
I'm going to go with Jennifer Connelly.
Mark Ruffalo. The guy who killed his son.
But he knows it's him, right?
No, he doesn't. No, he never got a good glimpse of him.
Oh.
No, he didn't know who did it.
But why is he getting a lawyer?
Because when they find the guy, if it ever goes to trial,
oh, he just
wants
knows
to,
that
he wants
if
a lawyer
they find
on
him.
His side. On his side.
Right.
Well, because the cop's saying, we're going to find this guy, we're going to find this guy. And then after
okay.
time goes by, they're not finding this guy.
Okay.
So he starts to do his own investigation.
I gotcha.
And through all of that, just through, you know.
And so then what happens?
Yeah, I'll ruin it. he realizes that it's Mark Ruffalo.
Okay.
Because for some reason, let me just say, if you're Mark Ruffalo's character here, wouldn't you kind of not
skip
want
town?
Him as your client?
Yeah, you would skip town.
Well, certainly. But well, you know,
his driving no, maybe force, not because
he wanted to spend more time with his son.
Well, I think that maybe you would want him as your client because then you could keep information from
well,
him.
Well, you know what? He did do that. Okay. I'll stand behind that.
Because then you can control what he knows, and then he doesn't find out it's you since the cops don't know.
Right. Actually, that did happen.
Okay.
Very
so
good
see,
point.
There you go.
But, you know, near the end, Joaquin Phoenix's character, I'm just going to use the actor's names, realizes that it's Mark Ruffalo, and he goes over to his house with a gun and decides to take him, and he's going to shoot him.
Right.
Now, he has to take him out of the house because his son was at the house. So he takes him out of the house, and he's about to shoot him.
Can you
him.
Just give the son a timeout? Have him go in a corner on a chair?
Yeah, sure.
In the north
but that
chair.
Didn't happen.
Okay.
So he takes him over to like a lake and he's about to shoot him. And then, you know, a kind of fight ensues. And Mark Ruffalo, Joaquin Phoenix is kind of like out of shape.
I bet you I know what happens.
And well, Mark Ruffalo.
Mira Sorvino then runs over Joaquin Phoenix.
No.
Oh.
Mark Ruffalo gets the gun away from him and then is about to blow himself away.
Oh, he's about to kill himself?
Yes. And he says, you know, I've lived with this every day. He's like, I can't even sleep. All I do is picture me hitting your kid. He's like, you know, because he never, I mean, through the movie, he's felt bad about it. I mean,
right.
He even went, you know, to turn himself in. But, you know, they're like, thinking, oh, you're about the lawyer. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So, right. I mean, he was very, you know, it's not like he was just callous.
It's not
and,
just
like,
he was a bad
to,
person.
No,
yeah,
not
right.
at all. Not at all.
Right.
So he wants to kill himself and he tells, you know, Joaquin Phoenix's character, just tell me to do it. Tell me to do it. And then Joaquin Phoenix just... his character walks away and end of the movie.
So you don't even know what happened.
He goes to jail.
For sure?
Yeah.
You see it happen.
Yes. Oh. No, it's alluded to, but it happens.
Oh, okay.
So stupid.
It doesn't sound like something I would enjoy.
Well, it just was so contrived. I mean, the whole coincidence of him, it being...
Well, yeah, that's the whole
And
thing.
It was predictable. I mean, they gave you little signs before things happened that you're like, well, of course that's going to happen.
Right.
But
I can't even think
about
that.
It's such
a
waste of like four great actors.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's like Angelina Jolie in that, what was that movie that she was in that, she, you know, she's been in a number of movies where she was completely wasted. Well, that happens to a lot of people.
Yeah. But to have four.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's what we like to call a bad movie.
Yeah. And that's why I went on Rotten Tomatoes to see what its, you know, aggregate rating was. And it was like 27%.
Yeah. That's not very good. Was that you?
No.
Huh. That was very loud.
Strange noises.
I think somebody instant messaged me in the other room. Okay, so in miscellaneous, I got nothing. I haven't seen any movies. I have had no time. So sorry.
I would have been better off.
Sorry. Yeah, you really would have been. In other miscellaneous movie news, and again, going back to remake, reboot, whatever, relaunch.
You know,
hell.
If we did a whole show where we decided never to talk about remakes or reboots,
we'd have nothing
like
to talk about.
20 minutes long.
Yeah, I know. There's a TJ Hooker movie in development. Why?
Yeah.
That wasn't even a good TV show.
No. And I go back to, you know, can't you just make a movie like that's loosely based on that and not make a TJ Hooker? I mean, can't you do
idea.
A cop
let's
movie?
Let's make a movie about the Pet Rock. Let's make a movie about Small Wonder. Yeah, you know, seriously, Small Wonder. Small Wonder is going to be turned into a movie. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
And that was like, I think that's widely regarded as one of the worst TV shows ever made.
Completely.
You know what I mean? That's like, I mean, 9 times out of 10, you go up to somebody who's into pop culture, you say, worst TV show ever made. 9 times out of 10, they're going to say Small Wonder.
Small Wonder, yeah.
People into pop culture, you go up to them and say, what was one of the worst scenes you've ever seen in a movie? 9 times out of 10, the sunglass fight scene from They Live. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, it's seriously one of the worst scenes in a movie ever. But I don't know why TJ Hooker is being remade as a movie. I just hope that William Shatner's not going to be in it. You know he's going to be in it.
With a really bad toupee.
He is some Shatner fan. It got this thing going just because he was bummed that Shatner wasn't in the new Star Trek. And speaking of remakes, since that's just about all we're doing. Oh, wait, before I start talking about this, look at the last item in this section. Okay.
Okay.
And can you find that online so that you can read it?
Yes.
Because it's pretty funny. Okay. So anyway, McG of Terminator Salvation, infamy at this point, is working on remaking. I don't know if it's a remake, a prequel, or a sequel. I think it might be a prequel of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Now, that, along with Journey to the Center of the Earth, is one of those movies that if you did it well now, it could be phenomenal. I don't know what it is with writers these days. They can't, most of the time, seem to connect the audience with the characters enough to make a great movie like that. I mean, I really think, you know, I haven't seen Up yet, but Star Trek is the only one I can think of from this year, anyway, that I really felt like they did a great job with that. Did you find it, by the way?
Yes.
Okay. So McG is working on that, and it's already going through a rewrite because I guess it was so bad.
Well, so, I look forward to that then.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a new full-length trailer online for District 9, which is posted on pause.com. You can watch it there.
It is already?
Looks really cool. Looks really cool. I'm excited again now. Because, you know, I was excited at first, and then when it seemed like it was just going to be a social commentary movie, I was like, oh, I don't
you
care.
You were not excited then.
No. But now it looks like there's some...
Now you're excited again.
Yeah, pretty good alien action going on. And some, you know... And I also think it's cool that they shot it kind of like a documentary, you know?
Right.
That's neat. If you can do that and pull it up. Well, you know, it's kind of like the whole, what do you call it? Cloverfield thing. You still haven't seen that, have you?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
You were alone.
I got to start bringing in Blu-rays.
And watching the ones that I've loaned to you.
Yes. Because
then you'd have something to talk about on the movie section.
That's true. Okay, enough from the other side of the table on this subject. No, I'm just kidding. I just haven't had any time. We had such a busy weekend.
I understand.
You know? And the week has been busy, too. Plus, our son is
here we go.
Well, no. He's teething really badly.
Uh-huh.
And so he's really a handful right now. I think he's kind of hit the terrible twos about 10 months early. And he's really difficult. I mean, I give my wife all the credit in the world for spending all day every day with him.
Right. Because while we're here doing the silly little show.
Thanks. This is going to help at home when she hears that. But I mean, you know, it's a full-time parenting is a lot of work, and when they get like this, it's really difficult and trying.
Right.
But we just take it out on the dog.
Great.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I love our dog. I just wish he wasn't mean to our son, you know? Sad. But anyway. Okay, so the last thing I want to talk about is, you know, Megan Fox in the press recently about Transformers 2 was quoted as saying something about how, you know, it's a movie about robots and robots fighting, and it's not an acting movie.
Right.
You know, it's not a movie about acting. And I guess Michael Bay was more than a little annoyed with those comments.
I have the exact quote.
Okay, so why don't you read what Michael Bay said in response to
that? His exact words were, well, that's Megan Fox for you. She says some very ridiculous things because she's 23 years old and she still has a lot of growing to do. You roll your eyes when you see statements like that and think, okay, Megan, you can do whatever you want. I got it. Nobody in the world knew about Megan Fox until I found her and put her in Transformers.
Yeah, and what isn't there some more about like other people that he kind of made famous?
Oh, that's all I have.
Oh, really? There was more. There was more. He was like talking about other people that were in other movies of his that were along, you know, along the lines of that. And I don't know if they're accurate statements in terms of if he really did, you know, discover them, quote unquote. But I mean, I certainly had never heard of Megan Fox before Transformers. Had you?
No.
And I really didn't hear much about her after that, other than talking about Transformers 2. And the ridiculous comparisons of her to Angelina Jolie, which I still think are ridiculous.
Yeah,
but that's fine. That's fine. That's enough. I just thought that was kind of funny. You have anything else?
Wait, I have it right here.
Oh, you got it? Okay.
But I 100% disagree with her. Nick Cage wasn't a big actor when I cast him, nor was Ben Affleck before I put him in Armageddon. Shia LaBeouf wasn't a big movie star before he did Transformers. And then he exploded, not to mention Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. Nobody in the world knew about Megan Fox until I found her and put her in Transformers.
Yeah. So the Shia LaBeouf, though, that's actually the only one I was not sure about because I thought he was pretty well-known.
Nicolas Cage was totally well-known before then.
What was he in of Michael Bay's? See, I didn't know what he was referring to.
Didn't he make
the Valley
Rock
Girl
or Con Air or one of those?
Oh. Yeah, Con Air. Didn't he do Con Air? No. I don't think he did Con Air. He did... Shoot. What was that one with Sean Connery?
The Rock.
The Rock. Oh, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nicolas Cage was obviously very famous before that.
Okay. Let's say it is The Rock. Before The Rock, he had made... Oh, my God. There's tons.
Oh, I mean, even Valley Girl. He was...
Valley Girl. Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I guess he had a small part in Peggy Sue Got Married.
Peggy Sue Got Married. He was
Moonstruck,
famous for...
Moonstruck. Raising Arizona.
Was, right. Raising Arizona.
Come on. He didn't make anyone.
Yeah. Well...
Who's
Megan
kidding?
Fox.
Okay. I'll give him that.
What about...
Wild at Heart, Honeymoon in Vegas.
Yeah. Well, maybe Michael
Leaving
Bay...
Las Vegas was before The Rock.
Maybe Michael Bay...
He won an Oscar before he was in a Michael Bay movie.
Maybe Michael Bay did something early in his career that we don't know that he did.
All right. Let's check here.
I'm just saying. I'm not sticking up for the guy. I'm just saying I don't know.
Totally are.
But Megan Fox, certainly, he you know, can take credit for that one. We'll give him props on that.
No, his first... Okay, he did an episode of Miami Vice.
Michael Bay?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then some TV movie. And then his first big movie was Armageddon.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know what he's talking about.
What is he talking about?
So he made just...
Oh, sorry, that wasn't as an actor.
As
a director, he did the Playboy Video Centerfold Carrie Kendall.
Oh.
Remind
me to tell you a Carrie Kendall story later.
Bad Boys was his first movie.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
What's your Carrie Kendall story?
I don't know. No, I can't tell you on the air.
boom chicka bow.
So he was therefore just as ridiculous in what he said as she was in what she said.
Right.
They're both ridiculous. They're both ridiculous. All right. Anyway, we're going to move on. We'll be back in a minute to talk about everything else. All right, here we are on the home stretch. We are back to talk about everything else in the old mashup section.
Oh, moosh moosh. I wasn't prepared for that.
You had no idea what was going on there,
did you? I was looking over our list.
Lost in thought.
Moosh moosh.
The big news, of course, this week is that Google officially announced their Google Chrome OS for netbooks and later on for full-size PCs. And if you didn't read anything about that, you are probably Michael Jackson. It's basically an operating system, a very lightweight operating system based on Linux, of course, like is all the rage these days, that you'll be able to run on a netbook that will basically boot right into their Chrome browser. The idea being that pretty much everything most people want to do on a netbook anyway is done online, so all you need is a web browser.
Right.
And the way they talked about it is that you'll be able to turn on the computer and boot and be into the web browser in seconds.
Wow.
Not minutes. So that's pretty cool.
That's impressive.
But, you know, other people have tried the same thing. I mean, look at all the Linux people who keep saying that Linux is going to take over Windows and stuff like that. Not to mention the fact that even Microsoft has a similar program, at least in, you know, theoretical development. I mean, it's something that they're working on as a non-retail product. But if it's something that works well, they'll certainly release it.
Right.
But that's called Gazelle. And that's basically, you know, lightweight OS browser combination too. So it's not something that a lot of other people haven't thought about. In fact, one of the other things on our list here is the fact that the Crunchpad is going to be available as soon as possible, whatever that means, for less than $300. Now, what that is a like widescreen, very thin,
that's very cool,
tablet, like touchscreen tablet,
uh-huh,
that basically just turns on and you go into a browser, and then right, you can do anything you can do on the web. It's really cool looking. I mean, it really looks like a futuristic device.
Yeah,
it's very cool. And less than $300, that's really neat.
Yeah.
So, you know, Google is obviously not the only one doing this. What I find strange, too, is that I would think that they would have done this or Android, but not both. Like, it seems like there's a lot of overlap there since both are designed to run on low power, not very fast hardware. But, you know, whatever. It's still big news. And also Google, you know, most of their applications that people use online, even Gmail, have been considered beta for years.
Uh-huh.
And now they're finally at the non-beta 1.0 level that got done this week as well. Apple has issued official warnings about the iPhone 3G and 3GS overheating. You've seen that stuff, right, where people will get a message on their iPhone that says that it's too hot?
No.
Yeah. And I guess it's happening more now.
I'm
wondering if it's more of a problem with the 3GS because it's got a faster processor, because I had only heard about it once in the last year.
Yeah.
So, it must be happening more with that. I don't know. Some scientists have halted or even reversed the effects of cancer in mice using the AIDS virus, which is really weird. There's something about the way that the AIDS virus works that if you use it to target cancer cells, it can completely inhibit their growth. And like I said, in some cases, it even made the cancer shrink. But what's funny about that, not really funny, but that...
I think funny is the word you would use.
No, but what's interesting is that scenario is the scenario that triggered the apocalypse and mass genocide of humanity in the movie I Am Legend.
Right.
Was them using one virus to kill cancer, you know, a virus to kill cancer.
But that virus turned you into a zombie.
Well, that could happen.
Yeah.
You've heard those stories, right? The underground stories about the zombie mice?
No.
Escaping from the labs?
No.
Oh, okay. I must have made that up then.
Yeah.
CompuServe has finally been shut down. I thought it was shut down years ago.
Yeah.
So I'm not so sure that qualifies as news, but still worth noting. I mean, it was one of the original online services and certainly the biggest for a very long time. It was, you know, their problem was that it was not, they didn't have a GUI for it until much later. So that's what gave AOL the opportunity to grow as much as it did.
Right.
But somebody bought it and then it was shut down. What else? Sony Ericsson announced a phone called the Rachel, which is going to run Android, and it's got a new UI and it looks pretty cool. The video of that is on pause.com too from Boy Genius Report. So check that out. Thanko, which is a company that makes a bunch of like cheapo, like wacky hardware, has come out with a keyboard called the Silent Keyboard EX. It's about $55. And they claim that it only generates 45.5 decibels of noise, which is about 33% lower than most keyboards. Now, I don't know about you, But keyboard noise, never been a major concern with me.
No, me neither.
I mean, have you ever been using your computer thought, God, this thing would be so cool if the keyboard didn't make so much noise? I mean, the DVD drive, yeah. The fan, yeah.
Right.
People outside playing the radio too loud, yeah. The keyboard, never even thought about that. Not a single time. But hey, for $55, you can solve a problem that doesn't exist. So congratulations, Thanko. There's a rumor that LG's new chocolate has a secret feature, which is an 800 by 345 display, which is basically a CinemaScope aspect ratio. I'm not sure why you would need that on a cell phone, but it's still kind of neat.
Sure.
You know, the wider that a widescreen gets is kind of ridiculous until it gets to the point where it's so wide and flexible that you can like wrap it around your head and get like peripheral vision with it. See, that would be cool. But I don't think you can do that with the LG chocolate. So forget I said that.
You can't eat it either.
No, it's not really made out of chocolate. Right. It would actually hurt if you bit into it.
I bet they have
it.
A lot of problems with that.
You think so? You get a lot of returns with bite marks.
Oh, that's so stupid. It's funny.
Best Buy is testing the sale of electric scooters and other electric vehicles.
Hey, let's go test one.
In 19 stores. I don't know if there's one around here, but we should find it. I wonder if they let you do test drives, like around the aisles. See, I'm going to pick up a vacuum. It's just so weird. Why would Best Buy do that?
It's an electric item.
But it's a vehicle.
Yeah.
It just seems strange to me. Clearwire, remember we talked about them because they had that access point thing? It was really cool, where you could set up your own wireless hotspot. They are claiming that they will have their WiMAX service launched in 80 markets within 18 months, which would be effing cool because it's really fast. So good luck to you, Clearwire.
Is it really cheap?
I don't know. You have to ask them. German engineers have figured out a way to make batteries via a process similar to printing, which basically means that they will be flat, which is really, really cool because that means that in the same amount of space that you used to stick a AA battery, you could, you know, get like 20 times the power out of it.
Does that mean I can print my own batteries?
That would be even better, but I don't think so. But speaking of that, do you remember that a long time ago we talked about a machine that was basically like a CNC, like a printing machine that would print concrete so that you could actually like print out a building based on a CAD design? So it was basically like this big rig that you would put on a building site. And it would, you know, print out layers of concrete to form the actual structure of the building. So somebody built it and tested it for the first time, and they're going to start using it commercially, like, in the next few years.
Wow.
I mean, they actually, like, printed out the, you know, the framework of a building in concrete with this machine. That is the coolest thing, because what they were saying is that when they get it to, you know, commercial readiness, they'll be able to print out the structure of a building in a day. And then they just, you know, put in the drywall and the electricity and stuff like that, and you're done. I mean, because that stuff normally takes weeks or months.
Right.
That's really, really cool, if you don't mind your house being made out of concrete. And then on Saturday, a bunch of people, maybe including me, is going to try to set a world record of the most Subaru vehicles in one place at one time, right here in Itasca, Illinois.
I did not read this. Are you really going to that?
I might. We might go, just a little road trip, just to see the shenanigans and mayhem, because Itasca's not that far. It's right by the airport, right?
It's not far, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know why. Was there a previous world record of like six or something? I don't know why you would need to set a world record about that.
Let me ask a question. How far would it have to be for you not to go?
Further than where Itasca. It is, basically. Pretty much. I got to be able to get home if the little boy goes nuts. He's been having a lot of meltdowns lately.
Well, doesn't he understand the
significance
importance
of
this
world record? Apparently not. But so there you go. So now, as always, it's time for us to reveal our votes for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week, starting with Tony's worst.
My worst happened this morning, and it's just little. It's something little. But I was flipping through the channels, and I happened to see on cable was the classic cinematic masterpiece, Glitter, starring Mariah Carey.
Oh, my gosh.
So
I'm speechless.
Just for a laugh, I thought I'd turn it on, and I turn it on. And it was near the beginning, I presume, because Mariah Carey in the scene is one of the background singers to the headline singer at that time, who was very much looked like an Apollonia or a Vanity clone.
Right. But for those of you younger than us, they were they were
proteges of Prince.
Right, they were proteges of Prince who were like their his backups, group. Right? And then they had their own.
Yeah, they had their own girl group
for about 6 weeks,
but dressed in like lace and leather.
Yeah, they were crazy and very voluptuous.
Right.
And all that stuff.
You know, all based on sex. So that's the way this singer looked. And but she was lip syncing to Mariah Carey. That's what the story was, that, you know, she was.
She wasn't really a good singer. Her backup singer, who was played by Mariah Carey, was the good singer.
Right.
She was taking all of her thunder.
But the thing that's funny about this, and so sad at the same time, is played by our very own Top Chef host, Padma Lakshmi.
I still can't believe that's her.
In what is probably her best performance ever.
Really?
No, it's so bad. The dialogue and acting in this is so bad.
I mean,
just from the little parts. Oh, by no means have I seen the whole movie.
I would guess that she's only in it at the beginning anyway.
I didn't stick around for too long.
Yeah.
But
that's really funny, though. I didn't know she had ever done any acting.
I didn't either. It totally caught me by surprise. So, like I said to you earlier, this could have either been my worst entertainment of the week or my best entertainment of the week.
But you chose it as your worst.
I chose it as my worst.
My worst, I don't really have much to say about it, but my worst is that I forgot to record Warehouse 13. I'm really upset.
I cannot believe you didn't.
I can't either. We had such a busy weekend.
And you said there's nowhere to find it.
Well, I went on a Sci-Fi last night, and you know, when you go to their list of shows, they have a little icon for whether or not you can watch their shows online, and there's no icon for it.
Well, there must be other. Maybe on iTunes you can get it.
Oh, maybe. Or maybe on Hulu. Because NBC owns Sci-Fi, right?
So maybe, I believe so.
Yeah, so maybe I
can. Oh, Hulu might have it.
Yeah, maybe I'll check there. Because I got to see it. You know, I have to say, can you look it up? Can you look up Warehouse 13 really quick on IMDb? And just get me the actor's name, who's the lead actor. Should we change the elevator music?
Yeah.
What was going on? Somebody come in?
Yeah, you want to pause?
No, not really. Let's just keep going. So who's the lead guy? Artie something?
Eddie McClintock.
His character name is Artie?
Pete.
No, I'm looking for Artie.
I see no Artie.
Arthur?
Nope.
Oh, come on.
You got nothing.
You're looking up Warehouse 13, right?
Yeah. You got nothing.
Okay. Well, anyway, this guy who plays Artie, who's like the warehouse dude, the actor who plays him, do not like him. So I'm kind of bummed about that. Whatever.
I got nothing else for you.
Okay, that's fine. That was my worst, that I forgot to record that. What was your best?
My best hasn't happened yet.
Well, it doesn't count.
It happens tonight.
But then it doesn't count. We're doing the show now. Well, you got to pick something between last Friday and
okay,
now.
Well, listen, I picked my worst, and it was from earlier today, so my best is from later today. It is the debut of my guilty pleasure. I'm almost embarrassed to say it, Big Brother.
Yeah, I've never seen that show.
It's good. It's
I just don't care.
Like idiots and backstabbing each other.
I actually spend a fair amount of time trying to get drama out of my life. So
that's why watching someone else's drama.
No, but that doesn't help me.
Oh.
That takes time away from me getting rid of actual drama.
Oh.
but no, I don't know. It just doesn't appeal to me. But now, is it famous people or just randoms?
No, randoms.
Okay. And is there usually, is it like the whole Breakfast Club thing where there's like the jock, the
geek?
That's
what they're doing this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They never did that before?
No, I mean, they kind of pick different personalities, but here they're doing on purpose. They're picking like high school, it's going to have like a high school setting to it, though these are adults.
Oh, okay.
And they'll have like the jock and the prom queen and the nerd and...
I gotcha.
But all of different ages. I think they range in age from like 20 to like 40.
Yeah. Wow. That's wild. My best entertainment moment of the week was getting to see finally the last season of Stargate Atlantis. You know, like we were talking about before, it's just you miss characters and scenarios that you like, and when you finally get to see it again. You know, and I've talked about this before. I get so annoyed with the studios when they don't release the previous season before the next season starts. And that's the reason we're watching it now, is because we didn't watch it when it was live, because we had watched the previous seasons on DVD, because going all the way back to the first season, we didn't start watching it initially, so we didn't want to start watching it until it was out on DVD so that we saw them in order.
Right.
It's not serialized, but still, we hadn't even seen the pilot. So you don't want to start watching it without knowing all the backstory. But they didn't release the DVDs until after the next season started. So we could never watch it live because we were always behind.
It's aggravating.
It's aggravating and it's stupid on their part. They would make a lot more money if they would sell them before the next season started.
Maybe it's not about the money for them.
Oh, I'm sure. what broadcaster cares about that? But so that's it. So I'm really glad we've gotten to see that again. And now I should say. And we've only watched the first few episodes, but so far it's been pretty fun. And looking forward to Stargate Universe, even though it still seems like Stargate 90210 to me. But, well, I guess we'll have to see when it finally airs. But that's pretty much it. You got anything else?
Nope.
All right, cool. Well, thanks again for listening. Write to us at podcast@pause.com. Visit us on Facebook. Subscribe on iTunes. Leave us a review.
And do all that stuff.
That's your homework. And we will see you next week.
Bye.